Live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Welcome to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Ara. Here we have Alon.
Hi, everybody.
And we've got Engineer Andrew back there in the prison cell.
In the studio there. He's got all the equipment. We just have the mics. I asked Ara to open up the show for me because I was so tired, you know. I just flew in from Seattle and boy, are my arms tired. Get it? Heyo. Anyway, so I came back from PAX this weekend. That's actually what really happened. I left early Friday morning. I got up at something ridiculous, like 4:30 in the morning or 4 in the morning, and just went on my merry way to Seattle. And, of course, then went to Bellevue where Penny Arcade Expo 2006 was taking place. And it was a really good time. Now, Ara, you couldn't go for reasons unknown to me.
Well, they were unknown to myself at the time as well, but it turned out that I had to go see my mother in California.
Okay. So that's a good enough reason. I had to not go see someone's mother, but I went and did my game show. Last year, a lot of you might remember, we actually played the show that I did at PAX, the unofficial Chatterbox Treasure Box. It wasn't like part of PAX or anything, but it went over so well that it was an official part of PAX this year. I got a stage, a theater, and... someone even videotaped it, like just a buddy. Like, hey.
That's awesome.
You should video this, right?
Right on.
But on stage, three contestants. If some of you read on joystick.com what happened, right? One of the guys knew his stuff, and two of the guys, not so much. Great guys, all three of them. But it was a killing, an absolute killing.
Was it like that, remember that there was this one show, like Press Your Luck, where this guy, like, figured out how to beat the machine, and, like, he... basically, like, won every single time?
I did not know about that, but doesn't really matter. The score ended up being 29-6-1.
Wow.
To give you some idea, right? We knew this guy was so ahead. Like, at one point, the scoring mechanism, what I wanted to do was get, like, 90 DVD cases, right? And stack them all up in front of the people as they would get points, and so people could see these stacks of DVD cases that represented their money winnings or whatever.
That's pretty cool.
And but that didn't happen because getting 90 DVD cases would have cost me a bunch of money, and I was like, well, screw that. I'm buying some notebooks and putting some numbers on them. So I had these little, you know, flip things, like a scorecard in a sports event or something, and each person had their scorecard. And the guy who was winning, just destroying them, at one point he flipped over too many numbers and gave himself an extra, you know, point. I was like, wow, just for that, you lose a point. So I took it off, took a point away from, never give it back to him. It was actually 29-6-1. Did I say that? Anyway, he would have had 30 points.
Did you find out if he was a robot or not?
No, I mean, he just knew his stuff versus the other two guys that really didn't. Like, we had one question, and Chris wrote about this on Joystick. Like, my question was, name a game, or, you know, what game has a new storyline every time, basically, with every iteration of the game, yet always has a character named Sid? Right? And so the answer to this, for anyone listening to this show, I'm sure... it's a very simple question. It's Final Fantasy, except, of course, for the first one. People who really know about it, he wasn't really in the first one. And I asked that as a follow-up question to the audience. But anyway, he didn't know this. And, like, the audience was up there, like, fuming, like, giving him the evil eye. I was like, wow, dude, wow. You got to be careful. You can't leave. They're going to lynch you for not knowing this. And he was the one who ended up with only one point. And then, of course, after he lost, the next player, the one who won with a miserable lead, he would just steal that player's question, right? First guy got it wrong, so he would steal it and then get to answer his own after that. So he kept winning two in a row over and over. But it went really well. And actually, you know, people approached me and they said, wow, this is really great. Some people were like, this is the best part of PAX. And I'm sure those are the ones, you know, who cool. won stuff. But I actually, I was able to give away so much stuff. Like, I had called up Nintendo and I said, hey, it'd be cool if maybe you could give us some stuff to give away. And I was expecting a few games, whatever, throw them out to the crowd or give them to the winners. And they said, all right, well, you know what? We gave some things to Rob over at Penny Arcade. He's the business manager there. And so he's going to hook you up with some stuff. We're going to give you some DS Lights and copies of Star Fox Command to give away. Make sure you give them away in pairs so people can play it right away. So it's like, well, that's incredible. I get to give away DS Lights? That's awesome. So, like, everyone on stage, the three contestants, gets to win one. And so I got there, And Rob's always running around the show. Like, he's always busy doing something, going somewhere. But he noticed me. He's like, oh, hey, your DS lights are over there by your other stuff, because I had some other things waiting for me. And I was like, all right, that's cool. And I went over. I was expecting three DS lights and three copies of the game. And maybe something else if he was deciding to be nice or whatever. I look in the bags, and there's way more than three copies of the game. I only see three systems, but a bunch of boxes, and I figure it's just a whole bunch of copies of the game, so I could give those away too. So I bring everything back to my hotel room. I unload it all. I'm like, all right, what did he actually give me here? He didn't give me three DS lights and three copies of the game. He gave me 15
Holy
DS
smokes.
Lights and copies of the game.
So what did you do with all those?
Well, I gave them all away. But it was amazing to me. Like, so, wow, that's more than I expected. And the people playing the game will be happy. And it turned out really well. Like, I had the contestants each got one. And then, like, we have these helpers in the audience. They're called the enforcers, the Penny Arcade enforcers, right? They're the ones who nice. Man the doors and make sure everything goes well. They're the workers, basically. You know, they get in free to the show and they get to feel good. And it's great. They're actually a bunch of really cool people. I mean, cool to us, right? They're not like the football players. You get my drift. And so anyway, I had these two enforcers helping me out with the wireless mic to go out to the audience and let the audience answer questions, because that's a big part of my show is the audience participation. And so I had two questions that were specifically like about Star Fox Nintendo stuff. I was like, what's the new Star Fox game? Thinking this will be a good way to give away some of the DS lights and Star Fox games.
Right.
And I had some bonus questions, that two bonus follow-up questions to go to the audience. First, I asked someone in the audience, I was like, you win a DS Lite in a game. He was super excited. It was awesome. The smile on his face. He was like, yeah. And he was raising his arms and screaming something about loving me or something lewd. And then I was like, all right, you know what? I want to ask the enforcers. I've got another question here. Bonus question goes out to one of the enforcers, because you guys, we love you guys. You really help out a lot, right? Kissing a little ass. And so I looked at them. They didn't really know. And the girl, and there was a girl and a boy doing the enforcing. And I asked the girl, and then all the audience was all like, no, ask the audience the question, boo. And she's like, actually, you know, my DS Lite just got stolen last week. And I was like, wow.
Oh, suck.
You guys really want me to not give her the question and ask you instead? They're like, no, ask her the question. And so they turned around very, very quickly when she told that sob story, but it was great. So she got to win a DS Lite in a game, too, and I felt great about that. And gave away a bunch of them.
It was cool.
It was ridiculous, and all sorts of stuff.
What was the attendance like?
We did not fill my theater. But that's probably because I didn't tell everyone I was giving away DS Lights to the audience. I intentionally did not make that known, because I didn't want to get the wrong kind of crowd in there. We got only the people who really wanted to be there. But by my estimate, I would say we probably had like 2/3 to 3/4 of the thing filled. So like a good 300 people. And that's nothing to be scoffed at. And we got a lot of attention for it this year. So I think next year is going to be much bigger, and I'll go on the Penny Arcade forums and try to get contestants ahead of time rather than getting them at the show. And it'll be a good time. And I'm even talking to the folks at Penny Arcade about the possibilities of what we could do next year and all that. So
that's awesome.
I'm really excited about it. Hopefully you'll be able to make it this time instead of skimping out, sticking here, going to L.A. or something.
If I'm alive by then. It wasn't really even worth going, because and I ended up driving like 1,000 miles, but I digress.
But you like your car, man.
Even I have limits.
If I recall, LA is not 1,000 miles away from here.
No, it's actually like...
Like 4 or 5 hours?
It's more like 350 if you're going where I went. And then, I had to take like an hour detour to do something else. And then I ended up driving like 150 miles in LA too, so... It was definitely like 900 plus miles by the time I was done.
Oh, can't blame LA for that, man. It's not their fault. Now, I pulled up a private message I got today on the forums, chatterboxgameshow.com. We have forums if you want to go read there. I got a message from the Quizmaster on our forums. I'm not sure what his name is in the online chat, or if he even attends the online chat during the show. But the message says, good going at PAX, sir. Now, he was at PAX.
Uh-huh. And is he going to quiz us?
No, but I don't know if I even... Like, if he came up and introduced himself to me. I met a couple people who listened to the show, and I was all amazed. I was like, oh, look, we got people who listen. That's great.
Cool.
And there was actually more than one, so I was excited about that. But he says, this year I did not miss the Game Trivia game show with Chatterbox, and I'm glad I did not. And he had told me before that he had missed it. So he wasn't going to miss it this time. So I did not miss the Game Trivia game show with Chatterbox, and I am glad I did not. I'd close my eyes and hear your familiar voice, and I was smiling. I'd open my eyes to see such a charismatic host. I had no idea you'd be smiling so much, and I'd be smiling at that. I was on the edge of my seat getting ready to jump up with answers for questions you were asking or questions that I thought maybe you were going to ask. There was a constant enjoyment, and it was an excellent show.
Hold on. Is this a love letter?
It might be. And thanks for ending just in time for the Tetris DS tournament. Although looking back, I probably should have blown it off in order to thank you in person. That's the sort of letter I want to hear. I want it. Yes. Loved it. People love that thing. It was a fantastic game show. I didn't think it went over as well as apparently other people did, because it was like, it's real quiet, you know? When you're in the theater, last year we were out in the middle of everything with all these people, and there was talking around and games playing and all that weird stuff. But this time it was in a closed theater, and so if I was asking a question or whatever, they were quiet. But they loved it. You know, I give stuff away that I'll be jumping up and screaming and wanting.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's very different from the emails I'm getting, isn't it?
Yeah. You get emails of people complaining, bitching, and whining about you. It's kind of funny. Maybe we'll get into that next segment, because we only have about a minute left. But overall, I just want to say, PAX was awesome. Penny Arcade guys are awesome. They did a wonderful show. More people visited than or attended PAX than they thought would. And they announced their new game there, and they gave away a Scion, I think, to the same guy who won the Omegathon last year.
That's a big deal prize. That's not that's no Mickey Mouse there.
And it was upgraded, like pimped the Scion, like twice as much as it was worth to begin with.
Right on.
It's crazy. Anyway, we're going to talk about actual stuff when we come back. Everybody stay tuned, and we might even get a caller or two. Back again, it's Chatterbox Video Game Radio on the air, over the music and sounding wonderful. My name's Alon, we've got Ara sitting next to me.
Yo.
That's Ara, the lethargic, the Lathara. Heyo, get it?
I think I ate something funny earlier tonight.
Ara the Lathara. That's not going to go over too well with the listeners, I don't think. And, of course, Andrew's running the show behind there. And it's also time for me to mention UAT, UAT.edu, the University of Advancing Technology. That's where you can go to school if you want to get in the industry. I did it. Ara didn't, but that's all right. His company actually gets a bunch of people from the school to work for them, so that's cool. Anyway, we promise we're going to talk about stuff, and later on I might even have a special story about even more of my trip for anyone who wants to hear it. It's actually kind of interesting. I think I might have to get a guest on the show if she answers the phone anyway. So let's talk about all sorts of stuff. You, Ara, have a couple of things that you wanted to touch on. I had already discussed my trip, my wonderful trip. I did want to mention, if people want it, I may be able to actually put the game show that we ran. It's all HTML-based, the whole thing. So I can put it on the web, and people can like run it with their own friends and stuff at parties or whatever, or various geek fests. So if I get requests for that, I'll put it up on the website. You can play the game just like we played it on the show. It's all very point-and-click. So anyway, let's get into your stuff. There's all sorts of things you want to cover, and then I got a couple topics too we can do in the rest of the show.
Yeah, so I'm just like, you know, looking around on the internet, whatever, the other day, and then, you know, I realized that there's this game coming out tomorrow, Disgaea 2.
Disgaea 2?
Which, you know, I guess you don't know too much about.
I don't really, you know, I don't play those games with like storylines and RPG elements and strategy stuff. Yeah.
It's very interesting you say that, but you know, Disgaea, I mean the first one, it was like, oh my god, I played that game for 90 hours. I'm going to do my best to restrain myself from saying like every other word now because I'm so excited. But that game, I was just so obsessed with that game. I mean, that was like, I just want to go and buy this game now and just like, I don't know, like hook up my brain to it and go into a coma. And you're going to have to be like, you know, Jennifer Lopez in The Cell to get me out. And you're going to have to send someone at least as good looking as Jennifer Lopez to come talk to me, because I won't talk to anyone else.
Oh, I can totally do that. Dude, I've got the hookup for you.
And this is like...
Are you going to describe what makes the game awesome, or are you just going to talk about how awesome it is and leave the listeners in the dark?
Well, let's do that for a little bit, and then maybe I might say something about the game, actually.
All right. That's nothing like good radio.
No, but seriously, I mean, there was... It's actually like, you know, Disgaea is really interesting because, you know, the first one at least, like, yeah, it had like a story to it, right? But the story was extremely unconventional. It was almost like, it was very postmodern in the sense that it was kind of like making fun of itself. It was very satirical. It was just, I mean, the whole freaking story was basically like a joke story. So, I mean, it's been done, yeah, but it was so nicely done. And the other thing too is that like the real attraction of that game had really not so much to do with the story, at least for me. You know, there's, you know, once you finish the plot line, right, then there's just hours and hours and hours and hours of, you know, almost infinite gameplay left to do, right? Like, when you go through the storyline, by the end of the storyline, you're around, like, level 90 or something, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when I was done the game, I was, like, at level, like, 3,500.
All right. That sounds pretty lame, dude.
So that was, it was, like, it was a sickness, but it was, like, crack.
Yeah, I don't like any game that becomes addictive like that. It's not interesting to me. You know how much I've heard about World of Warcraft in the last 2 weeks? I've been surrounded.
Yeah, you know what the ironic thing, though, is that this game is totally, it's like, it's totally not online. It's not even anything close to an MMORPG, but yet, it just, like, I don't know what it is. It has that same quality, like, I just have to sit here and just play this for 20 hours straight.
I haven't done that in so long.
I know, and neither have I. This is, like, I don't even know, like, why... I don't even know exactly what it is, but it's like there's only like, you know, four or five games a year that I'm actually interested in, and this is one of them. This is, I mean, I'm actually excited about this.
Aren't you worried that it won't live up to your mental hype?
Well, of course it won't. I mean, I'm thinking about crack right now. But it's like there's gosh, what am I saying? See, this is just
I caught you off guard.
I know this is just too exciting for you. Yeah, ironically enough, I do remember, although it is a faint memory, that, you know, I was kind of getting sick of the last game, like maybe the latter 40 hours of it.
And that's ridiculous, dude. The last time I spent 40 hours on anything.
The latter 40 hours, you know, like the first 40 hours were really awesome, you know, and I just felt compelled to play it more and more and more. And at the same time, you know, I just felt a little bit, what's the word, divided, because I was also feeling like, you know, gosh, what the hell am I doing with my life?
Well, let me tell you, now that we have displayed you at your most pathetic, I think it's time to take a caller, which is your friend.
Right.
So we've got Mark from San Diego.
Yeah, I have a... I don't know if you guys, this is a serious, like, discussion point or not, but I'm a little concerned about the inflation of points in video games over the last 20 years. I'm 31, and when I first played video games, I could actually count my score, because, like, a ghost was 200 or 400 or 800 or maybe even 1600. But now, I mean, I see games have scores that's, like, you know, half a billion or something.
Can we bring this back to how pathetic Aura is?
Wait a minute.
I'm not sure how we got off topic like that. What happened here?
Well, Aura was there for some of that at the beginning. In the middle, and actually more recently.
Surely you guys can relate to what I'm talking about.
Are you talking about your infatuation with the game?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. When Great Treason 04 came out, I pretty much stopped being a person.
When what came out?
Gran Turismo 4.
Well, yeah, he likes cars.
This is what I'm talking about here.
Yeah, well, you're a little bit silly, but I think I have a story to relay about your discussion of score.
Yeah.
While I was at PAX, one of the things they did was, what was it? It was something about, like, gaming with the pros or something, and it started off with some guy. We didn't even see him playing, right? He was up on stage playing on some plasma TV, which is really small when you're far away, and he was playing Geometry Wars Retro
Evolved. Wait, one second. Let me understand something. If it's small when you're far away... Does that mean it was small to begin with, or big?
No, I mean, it was a big plasma TV, but when you're, like, 30 feet away, a plasma TV becomes something that you can't really tell what's going on. That was
now,
my point.
Do you think this is kind of a universal constant, that the further away you are from something...
Listen, I don't need your sort of negativity.
No,
I don't need the sarcasm from you, sir.
Okay.
Yes, yet is a constant. When you go far away, things get tiny.
There's a distinct lack of sound effects in this show tonight.
Well, listen, Andrew is realize... when they turned on the projector, that's what he was doing, that he was actually playing a real game. And he was at point, like, realize when they turned on the projector that that's what he was doing, that he was actually playing a real game. And he was at point, like, 2 million something. Now, anyone who keeps track of Geometry Wars, you know that hitting 100,000, if you're not, like, an experienced player, hitting 100,000 is difficult, right? I can do it fairly consistently, but I've also played it enough, right? But it's certainly not easy. Now, this guy, they turned on the projector so we could see what he was doing. like 2.3 million points.
That's a high score.
And he continued to go until he was at like 3.5 million, at which point he just let himself die. He stopped shooting and was just trying to run through all the enemies, right, without getting hurt. And that's a lot of points. But I should
point out, what's
Geometry Wars?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Mark hasn't played Geometry Wars.
You need an education, my friend. The good thing about that game, though, he's getting points in like 200 at a time, and he managed to get up to a million, several million. So I know what you're saying about big points, but at the same time, Geometry Wars is a great example of that not happening. Of course, you could lob off two zeros. Still, the guy did fantastically. Anyway, I want to hear more callers. 866-536-1100. We'll be back after the break, and maybe we'll talk about the scoring thing a little bit more.
Hey, it's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woohoo!
Welcome back, everyone. This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio. I'm Ara, and that's Alan over there.
Hi, everybody.
And that's Engineer Andrew, the maestro of the sound effect board. And if you'd like to call in, you can call 866-536-1100. We love callers.
We want to hear people call in and talk about how much they love Ara, because I kind of dogged on him last segment. I want to hear good things. And he got this bad email recently. And he got a bad email, and he's feeling down about it. So I want to hear all the good stuff.
Hey, I'll take it, good and bad.
We're the only like independent podcast that I know of that has a game designer actually as one of the hosts.
I did not know that. That's a very interesting fact.
That might be because I don't know anything about other video game podcasts. But still, there aren't many out there. It's usually a bunch of kids in their basement. But no, 2.5 years running. Chatterbox, more than 2.5 years.
That's right. We're not hacks here, guys. We're not in some, you know, garage.
You have a business card, my friend, that says game designer, right?
This is true.
Right on it.
And it's actually my job, too. I didn't just go to, like, you know, Staples and get the Avery, you know, like, print your own business card sheet of paper.
Exactly. Not like when I used to go to E3 and pretend I was press years ago. No, you've got the...
As did I.
Yeah, the real deal. Well, you actually used to work for Tips and Tricks, right?
That's right. We've never talked about that.
Never once mentioned it. You were legitimate media.
Which sounds like a pornographic magazine, but is not.
Yeah. That's great. I hadn't really considered that. But yeah, you're the real deal. And here I am just pretending. Anyway, we've got some more things to talk about. I did want to touch on this stuff, this score stuff that Mark brought up. First of all, Mark, absolute shame on you for not even knowing what Geometry Wars is. You need to go figure it out. Go search for that, because I don't even want to discuss it. That's just shameful. That's like the contestant on my show not knowing.
You're beside yourself,
aren't you?
The
Final Fantasy answer. Yeah. But an example of a game with ridiculous high scoring for what it should be is Dance Dance Revolution. Anybody who plays that, at least the newer versions, you know that you can get into the tens or literally hundreds of millions of points, and all you've done is stepped on a button maybe a couple hundred times, maybe a few hundred times if you're on one of the really hard songs, and you end up with hundreds of millions of points over a period of like three songs.
You know what's really interesting, actually? I don't know about the scoring in that game specifically, but a while ago I did... actually, no, it might have been DDR, but I did a strategy on DDR like a long, 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 long time ago. And, you know, I was kind of like analyzing the score systems in that game in like Guitar Freaks, for example. And it's actually really, really interesting, especially when you compare it to, you know, something like Guitar Hero. Because in the Bimani games, like Guitar Freaks and DDR,
yeah,
when you get combos, your score, I mean, it quite literally goes up exponentially the longer you hold that combo for.
Yeah, that's true.
So I mean, if you've got like a 200 note or whatever combo... That 200th note is worth more than the previous one, and which is worth more than the previous one,
yeah,
and so on.
They
you get gigantic scores.
As DDR has evolved from version to version, they've actually changed the scoring system. There was the first couple versions, I mean, I don't remember all the exact details, but the first couple versions maxed out at 10 million points for every song. And that's changed. And like, they took away what you're describing now, how like keeping the combo was vital. And if you missed one, it would throw your whole score off. They actually fixed that. But they've still managed to increase the total score with, I don't know, some other method.
Right. See, I actually think that previous thing that you mentioned, I actually think that's more fair than, for example, what, you know, Guitar Hero does with their score. Which is, you know, I think it's more fair if, you know, you get the longer you can hold a combo for, you know, each successive note or whatever should be worth more and more and more points because it gets harder to hold that combo and it keeps getting harder and harder. I mean,
I don't agree that it's harder.
Mostly psychologically, you know.
I think overall how many notes you hit is probably more important. I think getting a combo should give some extra points, but I don't think it should be so much so that because what happens is, let's say a song has 400 units of potential pointage, right?
Right.
Guitar Hero is a great example, right? Because it's a very distinct number of notes, right? So let's say there's 400. If you get 200, you miss one, and you get another 200 or another 199 or whatever, then if someone were to get 250 and then 150, their score would be much more, right? Or if someone just got all 400 and someone missed one note in the middle, a single note, for whatever reason, then, you know, because someone took a combo that was twice as long, then if that combo continually grows, if each individual note or whatever continually grows the score, it continues to accelerate forever, then it's ridiculous.
Right, but consider this. It is, at least based on my experience, it's almost infinitely harder to do a song that's of at least, you know, some level of difficulty to do it completely perfectly as compared to making one or two mistakes. I mean, getting from, you know, that level to the other level, it seems to me at least, you know, maybe not worth like, you know, 20 times or 30 times score, but it's definitely, it's a huge jump to be able to do something perfectly or almost perfectly.
Yeah. No, I agree sort of that it's really, really hard, but I think perhaps it should be milestoned. You know, when you get, even in DDR, it's like, oh, 100 combos. Like, all right, that's when you give the bonus points, right? If you hit it, then great. Or if you get a perfect, then you get some bonus points for
it. Right, right.
And there actually is a bonus mechanism built into DDR, but the scoring in that game is so convoluted, it's hard to understand.
Yeah, that sounds fair, actually.
Guitar Hero is great, where you get a very specific number of points for each button, everything you hit. And if you, as it grows, eventually you hit into Tier 2 and you get multipliers, right? And if you keep it, then great, you can get up to multiplier 4, but you don't get higher than that. Right.
This I don't understand precisely why they do that, because, I mean, it's like the scoring goes up to a point, right? And then after that point, you know, just all the notes are worth the same.
Because it's what I just described. They don't want someone to just get some ludicrously high score because they kept a combo up. There should be some sort of competition there.
Right. Well, I think that the, you know, the difference is that, you know, it's worth... I think it's worth rewarding the player more for that, basically.
Okay, think about this. Like I said, 400 notes.
Right.
One guy goes 200, drops one, goes another 200. His score is not nearly as significant, depending on how the multipliers go, as the guy who gets 300, misses 20, and then gets 80.
Right.
Because the guy got a 300 combo, yet he missed way more. He took a total dive. But this other guy missed one note.
Right. But his longest combo, I guess, I mean, in the system that I prefer... You know, yes, the player gets tremendously rewarded for what their longest combo is. And I guess depending on what you want to emphasize in that game, you know, that may or may not be important. But from what I've played, I mean, it really seems like it's much, much harder to obtain really, really long combos. And I think the player should be rewarded for that.
Yeah, but not in a way that affects every single point. Anyway.
I guess we'll just have to fight that.
That's my feeling.
Outside.
That's my feeling.
After the show.
Only if I can get a really big combo on your face. Bam, 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 bam. Bam, bam, bam. I win. Like Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
Yeah, except my... yeah, we'll take this outside.
Yeah, except you're five times my size and would beat me to a pulp. All right, so that's our discussion on score. And you didn't even once bring up Gigawing.
Well, I was going to, but then, like, there's nothing to say about Gigawing other than, okay, you get trillions and quadrillions, and there's so many... I mean, the score is so freaking long that you have to... They start coloring the numbers different colors because you can't read it otherwise.
Okay.
And that's pretty much it. That's all there is to that game, I mean.
All right, then let's move on.
Let's go.
All right, forget about the scoring stuff. Thank you, though, Mark. That was a good discussion. That's valuable. That's argumentative.
Yeah.
That's radio gold.
Right on.
All right. So what else did you want to cover here?
Let's see. How many minutes do we have left?
We got 3 minutes.
Three minutes? All right. Well, so I was looking on the internet once again, right? And
I do that from time to time.
And apparently on eBay, there's this copy of Resident Evil for auction. It's actually not even for auction. It's for sale. And it's $1,000. And, I mean, this is like, I don't know, this is just even too easy to make fun of because, I mean, what? Who's going to buy this? I mean,
well, listen, people put stuff on eBay all the time. That's hardly interesting to me. You know what's interesting is Lumina's Live and the pricing involved with that game. Have you read into this?
Nope.
All right.
Tell me about it.
So they're going to charge some amount of money for the game, right? I guess it's going to be like $15, which is a very expensive Xbox Live Arcade game. By the way, the Behemoth, they're releasing Alien Hominid and their new game on Xbox Live Arcade.
Cool.
I don't have to buy whole retail. Like, although it was never very expensive to begin with. I think they were $20 or $30 games. Anyway, Lumina's Live coming out, and then you get to a certain point in it. You know what? You want to play the rest of the game? You're going to have to pay again. You have to buy it twice.
Well, what point is that?
Oh, I don't know. It hasn't come out yet.
So wait a minute. You buy it?
You buy it, and you don't get the full game. You get, like, the full version of the game. You get, like, all the stuff that the game offers, I guess, modes of play and all that.
Right.
But once you get so far, at least this is the way it seems from what I've read.
Right.
Once you get so far, like, oh, you want to play the rest of the levels? Oh, yeah. Pony up, buddy.
What kind of crock is this?
Exactly. This is my point. This isn't the complaining about the consumables that we discussed last
right.
week, which is also obscene.
This is a whole other retarded thing to complain about.
Yeah, that other consumables is way worse. But this, like, listen. I mean, you could compare it to episodic content, right? When you get to a certain point, you have to buy more.
Right, but you don't just make a game and then say, oh, guess what? We're going to slice it up and make you pay for each slice.
At least I know ahead of time. Well, that's what they do with episodic content. I mean, they say we're going
right.
to have episode 1 and episode 2 and
But
whatever.
Just by virtue of, you know, slicing it up in such a manner doesn't make it episodic, does it?
Well, yeah. Except that episodes are released over time, whereas this version you could get in the first night. You could just get there.
It sounds very cheap to me. At least for Luminous.
You could consider, maybe they want to charge $25 for it, or $24, which is, I guess, how much it would cost in full. You could pay that up front, or you could pay for it, get all you want out of it, and if you're not one of those people to really go in-depth in it, then you save the $9. So that's good.
Or think of it as paying double if you want to play.
I still feel dirty about it. Anyway, we're going to be back after the break, and I think I might make a phone call on the air. We'll be back. Last segment, everybody. Chatterbox Video Game Radio. I'm Alon. That's Ara.
Hey, what's up, Alon?
And, of course, Andrew's over behind the glass. So, I had talked a little bit about Lumina's Live last segment and the crazy pricing of that.
So, do you know how much these installments are going to be?
No, it doesn't say. I mean, I didn't go really trying to hunt down information. I just read something quick on Joystick. I think it was Joystick, maybe Kotaku. Anyway, about how at a certain point, you're just going to have to start paying more, and the total cost of everything when you add it up would be $24. So I suspect it's going to be like $15 plus $3 per additional segment. That's a total guess on my part, but it makes sense.
If it feels fair, in other words, if it doesn't seem like you're actually paying a lot for each chunk, so to speak, maybe this can work. Maybe because, I mean, if I could buy a game.
Yeah.
Holy, this is fantastic.
What?
Right. Do you hear what I'm hearing?
I hear a little bit in the headphones, but the thing is our listeners can't hear it, so I think we need to keep talking.
Okay, this is great radio, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Let's keep going here.
All right, so there's like, if I bought a game and I only ended up playing half of it, you know, it would throw me to no end to only pay for half that game. So
that's what I'm saying. Like, when you think about it the right way, it's like there's an upside to it.
As long as, you know, this isn't some just conniving scheme to make us pay twice as much, then I think this will work. But why would they want to have people pay half as much?
Honestly, I think the issue is that Microsoft probably put in some sort of restriction to charging more than $15 for an Xbox Live Arcade game. That's what they probably did. And so this is their way of getting more revenue out of the game. They max out the initial price and then sell episodic portions later.
Interesting.
Or partial portions later. That's just a guess. But there's all sorts of rules in place for how games are sold and established and things. All things that we've never heard of. Like, you know, just becoming an Xbox Live game, the rigorous testing and certain rules you have to follow and stuff just to get out there is ridiculous, right? It's just very heavy.
Yes.
And So I'm sure it was some rule like that. They're just trying to get around something, you know, like a company trying to get around paying taxes.
But these are their own rules, isn't it? So.
Well, yeah, but this Lumines isn't created by Microsoft. Right? It's being released on Xbox Live Arcade.
Got it.
In fact, I don't know if Microsoft made any Xbox Live Arcade games, did they? I don't know. I think Bizarre Creations is part of Microsoft, isn't it?
Perhaps.
And they make Project Gotham and Geometry Wars and stuff.
That is true.
Yeah. Anyway, so we have a few minutes left here. I had said that I might make a call on the air because I have a little story for you folks, right? On my way back, I was on the plane, and Alaskan Airlines, thank you, Alaskan, for making me pay so much for my ticket. And there was the whole time I was speaking to this girl in the seat next to me, very nice girl, and we were talking, whatever, and I mentioned the fact that I do this radio show, and that's why I was in Seattle doing the game show thing. And I was like, you know, I assume you don't really play any games, just because I assume that of everybody. And she said, no, I do, actually. Like, I still have my Sega at home, and there was this game I used to play with my brother, or just play, and my brother would want to play some other game, right, when I was a little kid. And she just wanted to describe the game, or she just wanted to know what it was. Like, I can't remember the name of it, and it's bugged me forever. And I'm thinking, well, I'm the gaming trivia master. Maybe I can figure this out. It's like, describe the game, and I'll tell you what it is. It's on the original Nintendo, and she describes it like dinosaurs and riding pterodactyls and stuff, and I can't think about it at all. But for some reason, Hudson's Adventure Island, you know, just jumped into my brain, and I was like, Hudson's Island. She's like, no, but it did have Island in the name, and I thought about it another minute. Super Nintendo, Nintendo, what is it? Super Adventure Island? It was Adventure Island for the NES, wasn't it? Yes! And so I just felt super cool. I actually tried to give her a call during the break to see if she wanted to come on air, but she got her voicemail, so... Anyway,
that was that actually called Hudson's Adventure Island?
I believe it was called Hudson's Adventure Island.
That was a genius marketing move there.
Yeah. So
Hudson's. That, I better buy this game. It's Hudson's.
Yeah, that's why it jumped into my brain, I guess. Oh, that's very nice. Thank you, Andrew. And so anyway, that was just a fun story. Like, I got to express my amazing nerdosity on the plane there, and help a fellow gamer out. Well, sort of gamer. I don't know if she wants to be called a gamer, but by determining what this game. And I was like, you know, you could, with the right stuff, play it on your computer. No one will ever know.
Maybe she's like a champion Street Fighter player, and she just didn't tell you.
No, she specifically says she didn't like fighting games.
Oh well.
Yeah.
So
whatever.
Yeah, actually, there was something I wanted to bring up, which you know, we'll probably run out of time. But
is this when I cut you short? After the Resident Evil thing?
No, it's actually the other thing. I figure maybe we leave that for yet another show.
Okay. We always seem to not talk about everything we wanted to cover. I still have a topic I haven't touched.
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty conscientious, you know. Anyway. So, I've noticed lately that, you know, there's a lot of games, a lot of recent games that... you know, every time there's, like, this new technology that comes out, like some kind of graphical effect or whatever, that they just kind of, like, they try so hard to kind of show people, you know, showcase this effect that, like, it kind of just kind of takes priority over pretty much everything else in the game. And, you know, a couple months ago I was playing PGR 3, Project Gotham Racing 3, and I thought that this was a really good example of, you know, a case where, you know, there's certain technologies that they're showing off here that are basically, like, they actually hurt the gameplay experience, in my opinion.
Are you talking about, like, the sort of stuff that they shove in at the beginning of a generation just to show that the machine can do certain things?
This is kind of like, you know, the infamous lens flare.
Yeah.
Right? But lens flares didn't really hinder gameplay most of the time unless they're totally in your face.
Yeah, they were just weird.
So what I'm talking about here is, like, you know, they have this blur effect in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, okay, so full screen blur, right? Which means that anything that's moving past a certain speed is blurred, no matter what. You know, this is not a good thing to me. You know, when I'm trying to race, it's like, okay, you know, all this cool stuff that's flying by me, all these fancy graphics, all this beautiful graphics... Oh, it's all blurred. You can hardly see it. You can just basically see whatever's in the middle in front of you, and everything else is just blurring by. I mean, like, what's the point of them doing, like, all this detail if you're not going to really enjoy it?
Because you can stop and then turn your head. Because
right.
you can do that in Project Gotham, right?
And we all know that people race like that all the time.
Oh, I do. You're just taking the scenery. You know, you go a good 50, I forget all these people going fast. I just want to enjoy myself. Yeah. Enjoy the country drive through the racetrack.
I just, you know what? I turn my whole body and I'm just like facing out the window. That's what I do. Because it's not exciting enough going really fast looking forward.
See, I see what you're saying. But there are other things in that game too. You had talked about like the HDR lighting and the blooming and stuff.
Right. So
becoming distracting.
Right. I think the most egregious aspect of what they've done is, you know, they have these cone races in the game where you basically, you know, there's cones set around the course and you have to travel in between these cones.
Done it.
And in previous generations of the game, well, you know, no fancy effects going on here. So generally, you know, when you looked at a pair of cones, their visibility, in other words, the way that they contrasted against the other elements on the screen, was fairly consistent between, you know, one set of cones to the other. In other words, you could pretty easily see the cones.
Yeah.
Now, in this game, you know, they have blur, which, you know, when you're turning and the whole field of view is turning, you know, that reduces the contrast overall. So it's more difficult to distinguish elements on the screen when that's happening. The other thing that they do now is that since they're doing all this dynamic lighting stuff, right, one thing that they do is, you know, in a night race, you've got these headlights, and these cones are specially designed to, like, light up like crazy when your headlights shine against them, right? Mm-hmm. This is some kind of reflection effect that they're doing.
Yeah.
The problem is that if you're playing a night race, unless you're facing directly at the cone, you can hardly even see it. And so what happens oftentimes is that, you know, you'll see a cone, and you won't know whether the next cone is to
the
right
or to the left. He doesn't like Project Gotham Racing. We gotta go, everybody. We'll be back next week. Actually, we won't be. I'm going to be playing the PAX game show.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.